Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I'm going to cover this week, by God's grace, an author that wrote a book, Neil Postman, who's already passed away, but he was a professor at NYU for 30-something years. And he wrote a book called Technopoly. You know, monopoly means you have a monopoly on things. And technology, so he merged those two words and called Technopoly. And he made some predictions, and he had entertaining ourselves to death, too. He wrote that as well earlier on, prior to this book. And it was accurate. And we want to talk about that because as he begins to talk about technology and how we look at it, and he goes all the way back to the Gutenberg printing press, because technology, quite often people think that's what's in front of them, not overseas in the time. But what he's observed and what is really true, and we're going to stay tuned this way, you want to hear this, is that he says that people are turning away from God and turning to technology. They're looking to technology for their answers and not looking to God. And he even goes as far as saying that that this is what folks are saying today. They're saying that we can, through technology, reach the heavens. Now, I got to tell you this. This prophetic book was written in 1992. I mean, the internet was just invented, according to Al Gore. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It was there,
but, you know, he invented it because he needed to say so. And then George W. Bush said the internets, so he invented a second one, right? Which I can totally relate to that. Yeah, with the swagger. And then, but it's just going to be a very interesting segment because this is a man who really understood. It was a big deal for him to write this. And
especially during that time.
NYU, which is a private university. And but I was just like, you came from nothing, you know, anyway. So it's like, this guy's amazing. And he did pass away of lung cancer. But he was talking about the divinity of God and the sovereignty and how men are turning away from that. 1992, he's predicting how they're going to turn away and they turn back and how the good and the bad and how we always look at the good that technology brings, but we refuse to look at how life's going to be different with it coming. And if we look at life differently, when we absorb this technology, maybe we can make decisions that leave sovereignty, the sovereignty of God in our lives and in our nation, for example, at the same time incorporate this technology. We learned that. We went through the whole dark ages of is it going to be paper or plastic?
Yeah.
And what we learned was if we embrace technology while having it submit to God, that God triumphs over technology, then it works. But if all of a sudden you submit to God over submitting to technology, then man, you're free. You can use stuff. But if you're submitting to technology, if technology is your answer, then it becomes your God. And it's just powerful when you hear a professor for 32 years, 35 years at NYU begin to talk about these things. And so we're going to just listen to this, I believe, very prophetic man, you know, talk about this prophet from NYU, which in itself is amazing, I think.
totally
amazing. And we're going to talk about, you know, America has a new religion called technology, talks about, and how when you add technology, you don't have what you had plus technology. You have something totally different because everything morphs to that technology. And it's exciting. I think it's going to be encouraging to you. It'll help give you a perspective to find out, are you serving technology today? Or are you serving God? Because whatever you depend on, whatever you rely on, I mean, is the first thing you do is go to your data, your digital television, radio, telephone, cellular phone, or is it to God? with a Bible, with paper, with a pen, mm-hmm. and a time of prayer, abiding with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who your God is. That's who your God is. And he puts a statement over America is that we are the technopoly of the world in 1992. And he talks, too, about North Korea wants to be, and one other particular nation wants to be. And North Korea's really rose up to the point where they're actually having a psychologist help take their citizens through therapy to get free from the addiction to technology.
Really?
Yeah, so that was 1992 when he said it. So, you know, maybe North Korea has risen to their desire, and now they can't. They're just all in this technology. I mean, it's an image. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't spend time, if you've made that your God, you don't know it's not real because the way you're created, if you believe something, then your body's going to react like it's real, and you're going to really think you're doing something. You're even going to think you have friends because somebody liked your Facebook. I have great value because somebody liked me today.
Mm.
Who? I don't really know who it was. But I now have more likes, more friends. Isn't that the brilliant using semantics to be able to, you know, instead of saying connect this logarithm to that logarithm, let's just call it like.
Mm.
I mean, everybody wants to be liked, right?
Mm.
And I think the history on the Mike Zuckerberg was that he wanted to be liked.
Yeah.
He wanted to be liked, and he found out this is a way he can get friends. And now it's friends of the world.
Interesting.
And George Soros.
Interesting.
Who was part of his funders. I want to go right into, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how Hungary is sliding back into the Nazi era of anti-Semitism, which, by the way, that word is so foreign, just like every enemy still in those words, hating Jews because they're Jews. That's it. That's what anti-Semitism is, hating the nation, hating Israel. And Hungary, the place where the country that friended Hitler, you know, in the persecution of the Jews, is going back in Budapest. Talking about in today's this particular program about Neil Postman, and about a book called it's called Technopoly.
Poly.
Thank you.
Come on, get it out.
Well, I had to type and talk at the same time. I'm trying to get this up for you.
Lock it up.
Yeah, and And some things that he talks about is so important because I believe it was a prophecy that he was speaking because he understood technology and how it affects populations and how it affects mankind. And we'll be talking about it. I gotta look away. Can we slide that over to another? There we go. Okay, great. Thanks. I'm gonna pull this up real. Give me one quick second. And how he talks about specifically in it how America's new religion is technology. It's replaced, you know, who God is, and you think, well, how would he know that? He said it in 1992.
Exactly.
And then he talks about in this interview, we're gonna be able to have this interview from C-SPAN, just bits and pieces of it. You'll be able to see the whole thing on the VFN Torch. But how technology begins to change things. And and it's like, my goodness, he nailed it. He totally nailed it. People say he first talked about, he wrote a book called Entertaining Yourself to Death.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about television. And we're entertaining ourselves to death. And so that happened. But then you had the people who grew up with the technology of television who made television their God, their religion. Looking at the other folks in this generation who's made portable television, you know, portable media, their God. And so they go, I don't see you ever separating yourself from your telephone. No matter where you are, you're always with your phone. It's like, I'm surprised you can see that because you've always been with your television. I don't know. And so this generation says, what you sit down and do as you do nothing, I live life while I'm doing what you did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another form of technology going on. But you do have that particular generation in 1946. But I first want you to hear, are we about ready? I want you to hear as he's talking about this, because it kind of brings up, you know, the reality, and it's technopoly. Thank you, technopoly. Oh my goodness! And talking about how technology has become taken over people's perception of life and changes a.
It was interesting when he wrote in 1992. I mean, we barely had the email out. I mean, this internet technology was even available.
Right, right, right. And I think in 1991 or whatever. But first, I want you to hear this first part of the interview. And you can see this whole interview I don't know if you can see him on. You probably could see him up here on the screen. Can you put so that you can see who he is? And but he's talking about, this is America has a new religion now. But I want you to hear Neil Postman, as you can just do away with that part and just throw it up.
All right.
Okay, let's listen.
America has developed a new religion, as it were. And the religion is its faith in that human progress and technological innovation are the same thing, and that paradise can be achieved through greater and greater commitment to technology.
What is technology?
Well, I have to define it in the book rather broadly, because not only do I include machinery like television and computers and all of that, but also techniques. I call them invisible technologies because most people don't think of them as a sort of machinery, but things like statistics and polling and bureaucratic forms, any systematic and repeatable technique that tends to cause people to constrain their thinking about the world.
We talked a number of years ago about television. What impact is technology having on television, and what's the impact on the country?
He's talking about, this is like America's new religion, and this is in 1992. And we're going to go a little bit deeper in this, but you know what, when you think about what is faith, and faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. The question is, what are you sure of, and what is your hope in? Is your hope in, as Neil Postman's talking about technology, or is your hope in God?
Mm-hmm.
Is your hope in the fact that, you know, you will have the next greatest gadget that's going to help you do whatever, or is your hope in the God who gave you the ability to create that particular gadget or whatever? Is your hope in God to protect your nation? Or is your hope in your ability to have facial identification technology and these type of things that body scan and look for guns and weapons and bomb sniffing dogs and all this technology, facial recognition and stuff mm-hmm. like that they have? And the truth is more and more, you know, Christians, but more and more people are saying, we just need to be more technical. And so what you're seeing simultaneously is you're seeing the more that mankind and Americans look towards technology as the answer instead of a helping tool,
mm-hmm.
is the less they look to God as the answer. The more the technology is like, wow, this thing can... It answers my. I want this, and it gives it to me. I want that, and it gives it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I pray to God, and he's going to talk about this. And sometimes he gives it to me. Sometimes he doesn't give it to me. By the way, it's because God knows you. He knows us, And somebody says, and he starts talking about it, he says, well, technology is going to give me the information I want at the time I want, the type of thing. And it's like, so all of a sudden people don't pray and wait for God to reveal it to them. They go and just turn to technology to reveal it to them.
Mm.
Because it's not that you really know anything, you just have access to what other people know. And so you can start feeling like you're getting highly intelligent, but you're actually a secretary who works for a lawyer who actually has the skill to know how to be able to defend that case.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having access to his or her talent and the access to their experience and access to the book of knowledge and those law books. And it's actually the lawyer is the lawyer, not the lawyer. But just because you can, you know, search for how a particular law and see how things work out, you're not the lawyer. But you can start feeling like, hey, I'm my own lawyer. I can defend myself. And they said a man who defends himself has a fool for a client.
Mm.
And just using that as an analogy. So technology, it's important for us to begin to think about, you know, what Neil Postman is talking about is in his book, Technopoly, that where America has a new religion. And this is in 1992 when he's saying that. This is 1992. This is, I mean, the internet just got invented by Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there wasn't even multiple internets yet, according to George W. yet. You know, internets. And it was amazing. But this is something very important here he's going to talk about next. Is, and you got to ask yourself, you can say what you want to say, but the truth is, do you have a paper Bible? Do you have a paper Bible so you and a piece of paper and a pen that you and God could spend time together? Or do every time that you are in the Word of God, and I'm talking to all 3%, 19%, according to George Barna,
yeah.
Do you do it in technology? Are you dependent on technology for doing that, finding things in the Word of God, or do you actually look? Do you pull out like an Unger's and a Bible dictionary or a concordance, or if you think about it, it's like, well, technology makes it so easy. And it's like, but do you know, are we building a relationship with God and His Word? Are we building a relationship with technology? If technology was to shut down, do you lose your God?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to find God? Can you find God outside of technology? And if you can't, then that means technology was your God. I mean, you felt like technology was bringing you to God. But technology was being your God.
The scripture says that the glory of God is to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out.
And
it
kings.
Takes, yeah, it takes time to search
right.
The revelation of God out when you spend time with God.
Right.
If you're in technology, it's just like whatever, you know, instant.
And so many people panicked about Y2K and the red light shutting down and stuff, traffic lights. And it's like, are we going to lose? I mean, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've watched the documentary. I think Obama 2016, I mean, based on this particular King's College president at the time, he was just saying that the goal of the current administration is to take us back pre-colonial days before things were colonized, which is like 1600 or something.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
And so, but the question is God still your God in 1600s?
Mm.
Is he only your God because you have technology? And is he still your God when you can buy food at the grocery store or you have to grow food in your yard? I mean, does he change who he is in your life? And next he's going to talk about in this interview, and you can hear the whole interview and see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. He's talking about, Anil's talking about, Professor Postman's talking about technology not only gives us something, but it takes away. It giveth and it taketh away. I want you to hear this because this is such a profound thing that he's saying here.
That all technological change is what I call a Faustian bargain. It gives you something, but it also taketh away something. Now, in America, and this is one of the reasons I thought I should write this book, we tend to be extremely enthusiastic about technology, about what it's going to bring us, so that almost any American, in considering anything from lasers to computers to television, can tell you for a half hour or more what this new technology will do for us. But there are very few people who have ever considered what a new technology will undo.
This is so interesting because we're talking about technology that, I mean, think about the Gutenberg printing press. I mean, it was a beautiful thing how suddenly, you know, man had access to the Word. That technology brought the Word of God. But also, not only were Christians able to find out about the God that they believed in and believe in the God that they heard about, but other people began to use the Gutenberg printing press. And after this break, we're going to talk more about the fact that not only does technology giveth, but it also taketh away. The question is, we need to ask ourselves, before we introduce the next level of technology, cloning, all these different things we're talking about, what is it going to take away? What is it going to take away instead of just being so excited about the next breakthrough? Let's learn from our past and realize that technology not only giveth, but it taketh away. What is taken away presently in the church is personal relationships with God, and replace them with a perceived relationship with God. Because if technology was to shut down, could you even find this God you profess to even follow? If you can't pull up your scripture on your iPad, would you even know what to say? We're talking about Neil Postman's book, Technopoly, right? And we're going to go right into this next segment because he's talking about faith and belief in technology systems has replaced our traditional faith. He's talking about, in this particular segment, about how faith and belief in technology. Think about it. Faith and belief in technology. What's that? Faith in God and belief in God. But how many people is depending on their technology to be able to meet their needs? Like, well, I'm not depending on technology. Well, really think about it. I mean, think about how technical our life has become and depending on that. And our faith is supposed to be in God. Are we ready? I want you to hear this right now. Listen up. Neil Postman.
Religion. You talk a lot about religion. What does the new technology do to religion?
Well, I fear that our faith in technology has weakened a more traditional sense of spirituality. That technology implies a kind of rational, or I should say, an emphasis on the rational, because technologies work. That's the wonderful thing about them. Airplanes do fly, and penicillin, I think, tends to make people better. And the television does show you someone in some far-off place. So technology works in an unambiguous way, in the way that prayer, for instance, or even faith in God, doesn't always work. And I don't think all this began yesterday. In fact, in the book, I tried to show how beginning in, really in the 17th century, the faith that people had in a benign.
It's so amazing that you think about that, because what he's talking about, when you look at that, based on my understanding, it was a full interview, which you can see on VFNTV.com on The Torch, is that God doesn't give you everything you ask for. But technology perceivingly gives you what you ask for. So he says people begin to throw, his theory is, which this is 1992, so by the way, his theory has proven true. That people do. They do turn to technology instead of God. I wonder if the fact that technology wasn't around, would more people be showing up at the gatherings and hearing the Word of God and understanding how can my needs be met? And God says, I'll meet your needs. Ask of me and see that I won't pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. How many people, because 97%, according to George Barna, they rob from God now. And his tithes and offerings, because they don't believe that the provision comes from him. I don't know how much of this we're going to be able to get in, but listen to this as he's talking about what happened with technology in Europe. Listen up.
Design in the world has weakened, and in our own century seems to have been replaced almost in a religious sense by a faith in progress and progress through technology. We will reach heaven if we can produce bigger and better machinery.
That's so important, and we're not going to get the full interview in. Hopefully we'll get the rest of it tomorrow, is understanding that what he's saying that this is not good because this is what people are saying, and this is what was said at the Tower of Babel. We will build a tower to heaven. And so he's talking about it's become a religion. Technology has become a religion. We realize now that we can reach the moon. We can reach the stars. And this was before GPS and all the other technologies coming out. And all of a sudden, we can actually create an economy, a digital economy, a Bitcoin, if you would. Mm. And we can have a new economy taking place where we can track every sale. I mean, this guy, when he's talking during the fax age, when faxes were sent. And in this whole interview, he's talking about, you know, people still feel like when they're sending faxes, they're sending telegrams. It's like, end, stop,
wow.
In their statements. And this man is a professor, 30-something years. He wrote the book, Entertaining Ourselves to Death, What Television Would Do. And in this book, it was so important because it's called Technopoly, The Surrender of Culture to Technology. Mm-hmm. So we surrender. Technology has become our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we as believers, he says, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, be not conformed to culture, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you understand, if we actually bow down and make technology submit to that instead of God, we're actually becoming a subculture of what's going on. We are not a counterculture. We're not still in the culture of God. And so we have to somehow understand. And we went through what we call the dark ages ourselves, learning how to integrate technology with our walk with God. I mean, should we use it at all? We call it the paper or plastic phase. What happens, it was so easy to manage so much information that you were convinced that you were actually able to accomplish something. But the truth was, you were accomplishing less with more.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we discovered is we got to begin to manage and use whatever technology that we can that does not override our personal commitment and dependency on God and being fruitful. You have to understand, being busy does not mean fruitful.
Mm-mm.
You know, watching 20 things on YouTube does not mean you did something.
Mm-hmm.
It means you did nothing for 20 videos on YouTube. That's it.
Right.
And that's some of your vapor. I mean, it's gone now. And so understanding this, it's like, man, this guy's nailing it. Neil Postman wrote this book, Technopoly, The Surrender of Culture to Technology. And we're going to talk more about this on tomorrow's program. You've got to catch it because it was so interesting because what he's going to talk about, and we can see it, and we're going to kind of expound on it a little bit even today, is that when you add technology to a culture, for example, in 1946 when they added television, in 1960 you don't have America and television. You have a different America. And that's what's happening. And so we need to take in consideration as the church, when we're bringing technology and stuff to use, are we leaving the original intent that God had for us as the church? Are we going to have technology submit to us? Are we going to use it for his glory? Understand, too, the Gutenberg printing press created printing Bibles, all this wonderful stuff. But immediately politicians and other people started using it to put out propaganda, and mm-hmm. Plato used it, and different mm-hmm. ones were using it. Aristotle was using it and just, you know, doing all kinds of things. And we have to understand what's going to happen with this technology. And so we can use it and harness it under the leadership of Jesus Christ for his glory, as we do at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Biggest shout. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.